Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you were able to tune in spite of the elements that have afflicted the Houston area there over the last week, or over the last couple months, right? In terms of the power being off and flooding and heavy winds, high winds. In any event, before we get started, I just want to remind you that you should always check with your current professional advisors, legal, tax, real estate, or general investment advisors that are aware of your unique facts and circumstances to decide if what you heard on this show or any show is correct, and more importantly, whether such strategies or such opportunities would fit with your current paradigm. For those of you that don't have existing advisors that can consult with you on real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, and the use of such funds in real estate private partnerships, or perhaps you're headed into retirement, you'd like to find yourself in a zero tax rate situation as you get there, well, then feel free to go to our website at beaplannershow.com. That's beaplannershow.com. And if you'll go to the forms link, there's a step one, form one, the client profile, that if you'll be kind enough to fill that out, we'll be happy to spend some time on a phone call with you to show you how, or explain how we either can or cannot help you achieve your goals and objectives. And I'm often asked, well, what are the types of people that you tend to do work for? And we typically are involved with people that are mature in life, let's say they're 50-ish on up. They realize that they probably don't have enough to get through successful retirement in terms of the finances, because these days, with the life expectancy being 85 to 90 years old, depending on whether you're male or female, that's a long time if you're in your 50s that you've got to bring home the bacon every month to pay your bills. So, we can show you how to invest your retirement wealth, whatever you have, into real estate private partnerships that historically at least have generated above average rates of return. And frankly, while I make no guarantees as to real estate private partnerships, I can tell you I don't know anything that comes anywhere near as close consistently of helping you create above average rates of return with your retirement wealth. And for those of you that think you may be locked into a job with an employer, 401k plan, and you see no way that you can invest that money in real estate private partnerships, if you're married and you live in the great state of Texas, there is absolutely ways that we can help you access those funds without quitting your job or turning 59 and a half, which those are the two reasons or two options that your HR department's going to know about. They'll help you understand those two. But in any event, we know some legal mechanisms that can allow you to tap those funds and self-direct those with your own 401 trust into real estate private partnership investments. Let's go to our news page on the BAPlannerShow.com. I've got some articles, several new ones I put up this week, and we can start to go through those. And then, depending on how much time we have later in the show, I need to circle back to a couple topics that we started a week or two ago. Actually, I think both the last 2 weeks, I didn't quite finish up with what I was trying to cover. The first article on our list, now this is on the news page or subpage under resources on our Be a Planner Show site. And the first article this week is U.S. multifamily permits down nearly 30% since or of the pandemic or from the pandemic levels, which is considerable. The let's see here. Okay, I got it here now. Builders obtained permits to construct 13 multifamily housing units for every 10,000 people in the U.S. year to date, down nearly 30% from an average of 18 units per 10,000 people during the same periods in 2021-2023, immediately following the pandemic. That's according to a report on Redfin, which analyzed the Census Bureau data on properties with five or more units. Multifamily building permits have dwindled not because they're harder to get, but because builders are seeking fewer of them. And boy, is it a chicken and egg conundrum. For one thing, the elevated interest rates have made borrowing for construction projects more expensive. For another, there's already a near record of new multifamily units hitting the market due to a building boom in recent years.
Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we shall return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me. With big dreams and faded dreams.
Welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to pick back up, before we go into more articles, I wanted to pick back up with my discussion that I started yesterday, if you were listening by chance. And we were talking about some of the math struggles, I guess will be the kind way to say it, regarding two other real estate platform shows that were here on or played yesterday. I don't think they were live. May have been, but bottom line is the math is still a real challenge if you're going to base the rest of your retirement wealth creation plans on the math that you were given on those shows. And one of the things that I can really differentiate these two platforms that I'm referring to, which are on this station. Yesterday, I was following both of those. So if you go back and look at the KSCV lineup, you'll be able to see who I'm referring to. But one of those platforms, the issue of fees is markedly different than the second one. And I'm going to encourage you, since we're talking about math, and the math that's needed to, quote, retire you, which is what started this whole discussion yesterday. I just happened to hear both of those shows. I haven't listened to those shows in quite a while, but back in the U.S. on the same time zone, and I decided to listen in a bit as I was getting ready to come over to the station. But there were some, what I'm going to call, outrageous claims made about how fast you can retire with each of their programs. And it's like, you know, one will tell you something that's just unbelievably aggressive. And then the second platform, not to be outdone, will one-up them. It's like, you know, the amount of time that you can retire goes down by half. And I'm going to suggest to you, don't believe either one of them. Because I'm going to suggest that, truthfully, I'm going to use that word. I don't like the word frankly, which I hear bantered about a lot on the air, or to be honest, let me be honest with you. You know what? I've assumed you were being honest all along in our conversation, and now I'm going to assume that maybe you weren't being honest because now you're telling me you want to be honest. But in any event, the concept of retirement is such a powerful motivator for the hungry listener. Usually it's a newbie when it comes to real estate investing. The old timers, the ones that, or at least the ones that call me, that have 7 or 8 or 10 or more rental properties, they know better. And they know you don't generate the cash flow as much as these folks say. And I would tell you, boy, it'd be great if we had a group that was X, the specific platforms involved, X members, so you could hear the reality. Unfortunately, there's nobody lining up to do radio shows to accommodate a member that used to be a member of these platforms. But bottom line, the concept of fees is something you almost never hear discussed when these two radio programs play. And I mean, it's occasional. One of them will discuss the fees. But I'm going to tell you, when you hear the math, and when, for instance, in the order of the show, the second show that played yesterday, I believe it was 1 o'clock, my show started at 2, and at 1 o'clock, the math was being real-time calculated, where a gentleman had, I believe, $700,000 in retirement money, and the host did what would seem to be a quick calculation in his head and came back and said, well, oh, yeah, you'll be retired in 6 months, maybe a year. And I'm thinking, no, he's not, because what the host doesn't understand, because he really doesn't understand syndications, to be quite frank with you. And he's assuming that all $700,000 is going into the transactions. That's not the case, folks. And if I was platform number one, I would say that's not the case, my friends. So that term is bannered about a lot. And that's another red flag. If we're going to talk about red flags on syndication deals, you don't want to be referred to as my friend when they're asking you for your money. But That's another whole discussion. But, you know, when you put your money into these transactions, at least on platform number two, and that would be one all about your wealth, supposedly, you will find that about 50% of it, at best, is what goes into the asset. You've got other fees and sharing. The syndicators promote, the acquisition fee, the debt placement fee, the capital raise fee, the refinance fee, the exit or disposition fee. All those fees are being funded by your capital. The lender doesn't make loans for those. It's all your fees. So in any event, just want to caution you that when you run your math, you're really only working, if you're lucky, you're working with about half what you put into the transaction. But anyway, let's see. I wanted to check one other thing here. And I don't think I talked about this recently, but I've got an article, I believe it's second or third down on our page. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. It's the third one down that I wanted to point this out again, because, you know, the lineup has changed since I put this article up on who's running for president now, who's in the hunt. And the article is entitled "Housing Costs Have Nearly Doubled in Key Swing States Since 2020 that's going to be a thing, let's say, over the next few months. I'm sure both sides will be lined up to discuss that. But when you're talking about the impact of inflation that we've had since 2020, housing is one of the biggest markets or biggest factors there. But in any event, let's see. I tell you what, let's take one more break. I've got to find an article I want to discuss. Let's take one more break, and we won't take another one. We'll come back and go through to the end of the show.
Sacrifice. I ain't gonna be rich no matter how much it costs.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner Show, and I was trying to put my hands on an article that I don't have out on the site at this point, I don't think I do. Let me look here real quick. It was about the number of evictions that have, I don't have it on the site. I didn't think I did. This is from July 15, and it's entitled Eviction Surge in Major Cities in the American Sun Belt. And Houston was one of the cities that were listed. But let me just read through this briefly. It's not a long article. Tenant evictions look stuck at elevated levels in several corners of the U.S., showing little sign of returning to what was typical before the pandemic. Eviction filings over the past year in half dozen cities and surrounding metropolitan areas are up 35% or more compared with pre-2020 norms, according to the Eviction Lab, a research research unit at Princeton University. This includes Vegas, or Las Vegas, Houston, and in Phoenix, where landlords have filed more than 8,000 eviction notices in January. That was the most ever in a single month for the county that includes the Arizona capital. So the party may be coming to an end in the Phoenix area. It's been a crazy development area in terms of the pipeline of new units coming in, and the absorption level has really dropped off. So this is just a matter of time before you would start to see more evictions. I mean, if there's fewer people lining up to rent new ones, you can rest assured that some of the existing tenants were having problems. But in any event, one judge signed off on an eviction after the tenants admitted to missing two rent payments. And then one tenant during the hearing that's referred to asked, "How long until I have to move out?" And this was a publicly available broadcast this month. of a hearing that happened this month. Quote, it could be Tuesday, end quote, the judge responded, suggesting she should try to work out a deal with her landlord before then. And, you know, we don't talk about evictions much on the air here, and I don't really know why. It's just I don't get that many questions about it, but I'll suggest to you that I've been in eviction court, I won't say many times. I mean, for the number of rental properties that we operated at any one time, I've always marveled that, you know, the amount of evictions we had were relatively slim, especially given the part of Bexar County. We were primarily in city of San Antonio, the east side, which was kind of akin to what the Heights might have been like here in Houston if you went back, I don't know, at least 40 years. And it's definitely an area you would like to have property in now because, geez, since we started buying properties there in 2000, I don't know, I guess it's 2006 or 7, I would hazard a guess that maybe the values on those properties have gone up threefold, maybe fourfold in some cases. It's crazy. I mean, the price of real estate, as I've said a lot over the last year and a half, in San Antonio at least, has never been higher in the history of the world. I mean, literally. And so if you were already on that train, it's been a good thing. And yet, did we have things like eviction court to deal with? You bet. And I don't hear a lot of talk on these, you know, get rich with real estate shows that we have in and around us here on KSEV about the time and the issues that come up with evictions. And we were in a situation where we had a landlord-friendly judge for the most part. I mean, it couldn't have been, aside from the hassle of having to, you know, go to court that day and wait your turn, it really wasn't hard because, you know, when the first question out of the judge's mouth when he calls your case to the forefront and he looks at the tenant and says, well, the landlord says you owe him X number of dollars. Have you paid the rent? And, of course, the tenant will always have a story. Well, you know, Your Honor, I had called and left a message about having something that needed repaired, and they never called me back. And the judge says, well, wait a minute. You know, did you have a custom lease that allowed you to make a phone call instead of adhering to whatever the Tenant Realty Act is? I can't remember the name of it in San Antonio, but it's very clear you've got to notify a landlord in writing as to a repair request. And, you know, when the tenant would come back with, well, no, we judge had cut them off and said, I find for the landlord, you need to either work out a payment or you've got, I can't remember now, it's been so long since we operated single family, but it wasn't long. It wasn't, you know, next month. And, you know, I had situations, I can remember we had when our landlord, our pro landlord, judge was out for a period. We had a judge substituting in, and this judge was all about, well, can't we all just get along kind of approach? And I'll never forget that morning when I realized, oh, this may not end well, because he was asking every landlord, can we come back in 2 weeks and y'all, in the meantime, y'all try to work something out? And so I waited patiently, and the judge called us up, and there was no question the tenant owed us money. We weren't in dispute really over the amount. It was just this tenant had gone from being a good tenant, you know, paid us timely, to one that had really started to slip, and we really didn't have any good reasons why. I mean, other than, you know, there was a Mercedes in the driveway now. Which, you know, if you know anything about the east side of San Antonio from back in the 2008, 9, 10 time frame, that was unusual, at least at one of our houses, that there would be a Mercedes there. So anyway, the judge started in on, well, you know, can't we all just, you know, think about it and come back in 2 weeks? And I had just flown in from Bangkok, where I live, the 2 days before that. And I was jet lag grumpy, I guess at that point would be how I might describe it. And I told the judge very respectfully, you know, Honor, I flew 9,986 miles to be here today, not just for the eviction hearing, but it played well, and he didn't have any data to refute that. And I said, I tell you what, I would much prefer is if you would go ahead and fine for the landlord today so that I can start the eviction filing and or start the writ of possession proceeding, which that might take 2 weeks. I'll wait 2 weeks, and I'd love to have this tenant continue. He's been a tenant for 4 or 5 years now. You know, that doesn't mean he's paid for the house, although for what we bought that house for, he probably gotten pretty close. I mean, we literally, that was a home that I think was our record low price. I think, if I remember, we paid about $8,000 for this two-bedroom, I believe. It was smallish. It was on the 800-square-foot side. But, you know, rented for $600 a month. And again, you know, if it'd been with us for 4 years, well, yeah, that would have more than paid for that house, even counting the rehab we put into it. But in any event, I said, hey, I'll give the tenant the 2 weeks you're asking for us to come back. But I said, we're both here. We've already stipulated as to the fact that he owes us money. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you my word, been in this court many times, not with you, but with your associate. And I would much rather work a deal out with this tenant. I'll even give him some payment terms to keep him. But he's going to have to pay the rent. I have to pay a mortgage. And my mortgage company doesn't want to wait 2 weeks to see action. So in any event, I was pleasantly pleased that the judge, he got it, he understood, and he honored our request. And so, you know, evictions are, they're difficult. I mean, I get it. I understand. Thankfully, knock on wood, I've never been on the other end of an eviction. But look, life happens. Things happen. Medical bills might, you know, come into play. You might have had a child that fell off a bike and spent a night in the emergency room, and you've still got that bill you're struggling with. But at base, rental property is a business. And if you're going to be a charity, you need to take care of business first, collect the rent, then turn around, and if you want to be charitable, do whatever, you know, floats your boat. You know, if you want to give the tenant some charity, give him some money or whatever the case may be, fine. But don't lose sight of the fact that your loan will be the next item that's getting called into court, and you're going to have to deal with, you know, non-payment on a loan. The tenant's going to have to get out of the house anyway if you lose the property. So in any event, let's see. Let me go back to this article. There was one other point. Yeah, there was a reference to just how pervasive the rental conundrum is, not was, is at the moment. Overall, eviction notices, according to this study or this report, were up 15% or more compared with the period before the pandemic for 10 out of the 33 cities tracked by the Eviction Lab, which is the group that put this report together, looking at filings over just the past 12 months. And they've got some charts in this article. And I don't have this article up on our site yet. I'll have to put it up here before maybe the Sunday show. But this was in, let's see, where did this, I'm not sure how this got into my inbox, but I'll track down the link to it when I put it up on the site. But it goes on, even with the higher eviction rates in several major cities, evictions more broadly have settled to roughly where they were before the pandemic in many cities. The first 5 months of the year had about 422,000 filings for eviction across the 33 cities and an additional 10 states that were tracked, down slightly from pre-pandemic norms in those same places. New York City, Philadelphia, and some other cities, filing stayed down due in part to increased protections for renters. The elevated eviction filing rates in some places followed a sharp acceleration in rents, because I guess over the same period since 2020, rental rates had gone up collectively, and again, I'm going to use a word that really shouldn't matter to you, but it's the word average. None of us are average, but if I'm not mistaken, the rents, here's the quote: despite a softening over the past year, asking rents for houses and apartments nationwide rose 30%. I was thinking it was 35%, but this is a Zillow calculation, so maybe in their world they saw 30. But anyway, 30 to 35% in the 4 years spanning 2020 to 2023. Increasing rents have made it difficult for a lot of households in many areas, and you can see that reflected in the eviction filing increases. Most cities seeing more evictions are in the Sun Belt, but Columbus, Ohio, and Minneapolis-St. Paul area have also had elevated rates. In any event, that's the important pieces of that article. So something to note as you're looking at potential real estate private partnership syndication options that you might choose to invest in, and the rental growth rate has to always be tempered with what's going on the other side of the ledger, which, you know, in part is eviction filings. And, you know, we feel strongly about the multifamily investment options for creating wealth. However, we realize there's more than one way to do it, and unfortunately, you don't hear about an option that we're going to pick up with when we come back here from the break. Let's go ahead and take that break, and we'll go into an option that I think may be a better way to make money in the multifamily space. We'll be right back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
So reach down, reach out and lead me, guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day. 'Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper, you are a leader, won't you show me?
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before we went to break, I mentioned to you that, you know, there's another option to you investing in these larger real estate private placement partnerships or syndications, partnerships, same thing in this context. And I've done both, and I'll tell you the other way for you to, I think, at least at the moment, get better throughput on your investment in multifamily is to consider taking down a small apartment building on your own, or maybe with one or two other people. I mean, there's a number of ways you can approach this, and I know back in the day when I joined Self-Made Millionaires platform, way back in the day, 2003 or so. God, it pains me to say that. Because of the age thing, nothing else. I mean, it was a good decision. And for all of my criticisms at time about Self-Made Millionaire, I will suggest that he was definitely my mentor at that point and got me motivated to take action and actually buy some assets, which not exactly in the same model that he elaborates. He takes the path the mainstream might take. He's not looking to nibble around the edges on absolutely fully exploiting an asset. But I know where I bought assets in San Antonio that here over the years have proven to, and I don't think Self-Made Millionaire disagrees with the notion that, in fact, I heard him say it just yesterday, that, you know, the beauty about a piece of real estate is if you buy it, it's eventually going to be worth twice what it's worth today. That's just the nature of real estate. You can make money just by being in the way. And if you're in the way in the right spots, you can make even more money. And in any event, in San Antonio, where I'm at, I've got a property that I'm getting ready to register it for. I'm going to use a kinder, softer term, an accountant in me, I guess you might say, a vacation club. No, I didn't say timeshare, but it's similar. And effectively, you know, I'm in a spot in San Antonio where, as a city, we have about 45 million visitors per year come to the city of San Antonio. 45 million. And I'm sure most of you listeners had no idea. And if you look at the biggest, some of the biggest tourism cities in America, you can't get past Orlando if you're just going down a list. Yeah, roughly 125 to 130 million visitors a year. They've got effectively maybe, 110,000 or so timeshare units. If you look at Vegas, that would be one of the bigger markets going down the list, you know, probably 60 million visitors a year with maybe 35,000, 40,000 in timeshare units. And then San Antonio, in some assessments, is third with the 46 million. I'm talking about vacation type touristy venues. I'm not talking about New York City and some of the big northeastern markets, but San Antonio's got fewer than 1,000 timeshare units or points-based vacation club spots. And urban vacations is a thing now. And all the big players, the Marriott Family Vacation Clubs, the Hiltons, the Wyndham Resorts, International, they all have spent massive amounts of money building urban resorts over the past 5 to 10 years. And I had the good fortune of having the former vice president of marketing of Wyndham International stay at one of my properties for a couple years that filled me full of good information on why my little 8-unit building 3.5 blocks off the Riverwalk, maybe 3 blocks from the convention center, maybe 3 blocks from a soon-to-be-unveiled proposed entertainment venue at the corner of Cesar Chavez and I-37. So it's basically right there on the same side of the freeway as the convention center. It's opposite across the freeway from the Alamo Dome. And for those of you that maybe have visited San Antonio and know where the Institute of Texan Cultures is located, that's going away. That, in fact, that's closed now. As of the end of May, they're no longer allowing tours or visitors. That will be demolished. And in its stead, the proposal is to build a new Spurs arena. Expand the convention center, expand the Alamo Dome. It'll be a near $4 billion undertaking. And, of course, hotels, restaurants, that whole entertainment complex will transform that corner. And this is right there next to the Hemisphere, the big tower that we've got there. And so, you know, I'm going to refer back to being there long enough and being in the way of progress, being in the way of inflation. You can go down the list, and all of a sudden in that market, you know, in the context of a timeshare, there's a lot more value than even the apartment building would yield if you were, you know, selling it on a 12-month lease type model. So I only raise this to encourage you to take action and jump on the train at some point, because it's rare that, assuming you're buying in good locations, and that I would always preface that, I would preface the importance of location, 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 because a good location will override a lot of other ills that might come along. But in any event, San Antonio's had a lot of things happen in the past 5 to 10 years that have greatly added value to those that own real estate. Many of you may not be aware that the Missions there, starting with the Alamo Dome downtown and going out basically 8.5 or 9 miles to the south, just past Loop 410, were designated a World Heritage Foundation site. That's a UNESCO program that designates historically significant sites. I don't know how old those missions are. They're probably 150 years old minimum. I believe they're actually a couple hundred years old. You know, the Alamo would be a good one if you wanted to check that. Check how old the Alamo is, and I believe the other four also of that same time frame. But essentially, that being designated a World Heritage Foundation site puts that site on many, many millions of folks' bucket list that are tourists. And so, you know, I look across that area and see all the properties, the small apartments and old hotel buildings that need renovation and could be purchased for a song compared to what they're going to go for in the future. And I would just, and I'm only mentioning this one area in the country, in the state, because I know a little about it. I mean, how many areas are there that I can't say I have familiarity with that have small apartments? The last time I checked, the National Apartment Association claimed there's at least 500,000 small apartment buildings around the country, and I'm not sure what data source they use to catalog those. I know it's not members, because there's a lot of folks like me that I'm not a member of the National Association. I am a member of the San Antonio Apartment Association, or I believe I still am. I probably ought to check, make sure it didn't expire. We paid our annual, $20 membership fee or whatever it was. It's not much, but bottom line is, it's a situation where location has turned out to be more than a little fortuitous, and now we're in the way of the progress that's happened, and yet we're going to benefit. All the boats rise together in those areas when things go up. Let's go ahead, and we're going to be wrapping up here in the next minute or so. I just want to mention to you that if you're unsure of how to proceed, you're intrigued by the platforms that you hear on the radio, both here and across the country, there's assorted groups that join together and purchase multifamily assets and have members that are doing fine and happy with single family. But the difference in the way those two models make you money are striking. And I would tell you that if you have the funds, if you got $100,000 or more, I would strongly encourage you to step into the multifamily pond instead of single family. Single family is definitely a profitable endeavor in most cases if you do it right. But you can't create a large amount of retirement wealth as fast as you might be able to with multifamily. So I would start there. And if you have any questions, feel free to go to our BeAPlannerShow.com website, fill out at least the Form 1, Step 1 on our forms page, and then schedule a call. That link's right next to forms there on our homepage. And I'll be happy to take some time to discuss your goals and objectives and help you understand how we might be able to sync up with having you as one of our clients that we advise on real estate tax, retirement plans, and zero tax math as you head into retirement. We'll be back on Sunday, 7 a.m., right here on KSEV. We hope you can join us at that time, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.